Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Adarim is daf Yud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf as long as Zeicha Nishmas Liba Gabriel Bashmuel. And also, we're learning this morning Zeicha Nishmas Hinda Bracha Bas Yitzchak Asher. Okay, we are in the very bottom of the Amud. We're addressing a specific question. Neder Nedava, who makes it? Do good people make it or bad people make it? So the Mishnah was actually pretty clear. A Mishnah that started back on Daf Testament Alpha. It's the second Mishnah of our Masechta. The Mishnah talks about Kenidra Rishayim. So we're talking about Yados. We're talking about handles. Okay, there are basically, as we talked about since day one of the Masechta, about a week and a half ago, there are three different types of Nedarim. There's a Stam Neder, there's just a regular Neder, where the person actually articulates exactly what he's prohibiting upon himself. And then there's Kinui, and then there's Yad. Kinui are nicknames. Later this morning, we're going to start the discussion of Kinuyim, the nicknames of Nedarim. And there's Yados, Yados of Nedarim, which we already pointed out, already back in the beginning of the Masechta. That's what, that's really the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah, although the Mishnah doesn't mention it, which was a bit of a textual problem, but the Mishnah really is focused first and foremost on Yados. Yados, as we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet, Yados are darshened out, meaning we have psukim that don't speak about Yados, but through Drush we learn out Yados from the psukim. So the idea is that even if I don't articulate the entire sentence, but as long as they say enough of the sentence, so that's a Yad LeNeder, that's considered a handle for the Neder, and therefore it would work as a Neder. So what's considered a Yad LeNeder? So the Mishnah, Daf Testament Aleph, gave us an example, Kenidra Rishayim. So if I say that, I'm going to make a Neder like the Rishayim make. You know, Rishayim, they're bad people. Like LeBron said yesterday, we're not talking about real Rishayim. If we're talking about real Rishayim, they're not going to be discussing the Dharma altogether. Rishayim just simply means is that they're not, in this particular regard, they're not careful about what they say. So they say something to the tune of, you know, I'm going to make a neder. And in general, like we learned yesterday, you shouldn't. But this person does. So Kenidra Rishayim, that's really what you formulate that comes out of your mouth. So that's considered a yad, that's considered a handle to a neder, and therefore you're going to be bound by a neder. The Gemara yesterday asked a question on the bottom of Testament Aleph, and that is, our Mishnah is going like whom? Meaning that there's a general discussion throughout the Tanayim whether or not Rishayim make Neder or whether good people make Nedarim. So if you look back on the bottom of Testament Aleph, the Gemara says, Mandan Shanaleim Bein Neder L'Ndava. Now, I'm sorry, let me just, one other point of introduction before we can even ask the Gemara's question yesterday. The Mishnah went on to say, that's true by Nedarim, but if you say Kinedavosam, so if you say the Nedava, so that would be Neder Benazir V'Karban. That would be considered Neder. So in other words, Rishayim make Nedarim, and good people make Nedavos. Okay, and Neder, Nedava, we're not talking in the context of a Karban, because if we're talking about the context of a Karban, that has its own separate halachas. We're talking about just the person making a neder. So basically, somebody made a partial commitment and someone made a full commitment. Partial commitment, that's neder, Rishayim do that. Nedava, full commitment, good people do that. Good. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. And that prompted the Gemara asked the question yesterday. Let's just review the Gemara's question. It's on the bottom of Testament Aleph. The Gemara says, Mantan Dishana Lebe Neder Ladava. So who holds this distinction between someone who makes a neder, which in our context means a partial commitment, and a dava means a full commitment? So Lema Larebi Meir Velarebi Huda Detain. The Gemara quoted a Braisa. Tova Shalotider. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Koheles. Tov Mizeh Mizeh Sheino No Der Kol Iker Diver Rebi Meir. According to a Meir, you should not make nedarim. Meaning, you know, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, but don't do it. Right? It's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So we're not supposed to, as observant as a person wants to be, you're not supposed to observe all 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? Just even a simple example. Right? The Torah says v'heishiv is exela. Okay, you stole something, so good. So now you have a mitzvah to return it. Okay, right, correct. So you don't want to be in that position, meaning you don't want to be in that position that you're going to be doing that mitzvah. There are a number of mitzvahs in the Torah where, even though the Torah says it's, even though we count it as a mitzvah, don't be there. So Rabbi Meir says the same thing with Nedarim. Once you make a neder, okay, you have to fulfill it. But you know what? Don't be there. Meaning, don't be there to begin with in being in the position where you made a neder. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer told me, Zem Yizeh, neder Mishalim. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, make a neder and fulfill the neder and good, and you're in good shape. It's bad if you make a neder and you don't fulfill the neder. That's bad. But if you make a neder and you comply with what your neder was, that's good. Okay. That is a machlokus between the Tanayim. What is not happening within this machlokis is there's no distinction in this debate between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, between Neder and Nedava. And meanwhile, in our Mishnah, we're making a very simple distinction between Neder and Nedava. Neder in our Mishnah is bad. Rishayim do that. Nedava in our Mishnah, that's good. Everyone does that. Good people do that. Okay. That was the question the Gemara asked yesterday. Gemara yesterday went over one answer. That was yesterday's daf. Today, Ibai Sam and the Gemara is going to now give us a different answer. We're in the very bottom of Testament base. We're continuing where we left off. Afilu Tam Rav Yehuda. Really, our Mishnah could be going like Rav Yehuda. Even though our Mishnah is making a distinction between Adon and Adaba. And it's at face value, Rav Yehuda makes no distinction. So the Gemara says we're going to learn now that even according to Rav Yehuda, there is a distinction between Neder and Nedava. Ki Amar Rav Yehuda ben Nedava, ben Neder lo Amar. So the Gemara says that Rav Yehuda says, you know, the best thing to do is to make a Neder and to comply with your Neder. Yes, it's true, but according to Rav Yehuda, that's only if the person made a Nedava. Then good. Good people do that. But if it's a Neder, no. Neder is not made by good people. So this partial commitment. So the Gemara says, first of all, textually, that's very difficult. V'aksani tov mizeh mizeh, noder umekayim. You look back, that's what we did in the beginning of the shiur today. We did look back, and we review the actual lashon of the braisa on the bottom of Tesamad Aleph. What does Rav Yehuda say? Tov mizeh mizeh, noder umeshalim. He's talking about Neder. He's not talking about Nedava. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a textual problem, and it is very difficult. So the Gemara says, we're going to have to edit a little bit. So, Tani, no Dave Umekayim. So the Gemara says, okay, yeah, you're right. And with a little bit of editing in the Braisa, what he really means is, the best thing to do, meaning what good people do, is they make Nedava. And that, again, Nedava means a full commitment. So the Gemara says, again, I haven't explained this yet, knowing that the Gemara is about to do so. What's the difference between Neder and Nedava? I'm using terminology of partial commitment, full commitment. Meaning, how do you know what's one and what's the other? So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to a Neder, you know what the problem with a Neder is? It'll lead to a takala, lead to a problem. Meaning, if a person dedicates a carbon and says, I'm going to bring this carbon by way of Neder, so that leads to an issue, a takala. What issue? The Gemara is not abundantly clear exactly what the issue is. So in yesterday's daf, the Rishonim discuss exactly what the takala is. Some suggest that the takala is me'ila, meaning that if I dedicate an animal to be a carbon, so what's going to happen is the animal's going to be running around my house and I'm going to use it for my own personal benefit. And so that he'll be in violation of Me'ila, or another simple problem is Baal Ta'akhir. In other words, he'll delay, he won't bring it on time. Like we learned, once you obligate yourself a Neder, so you're on the clock. And by three Yontifs, you have to bring the carbon. So maybe that's another issue. Either way, the Gemara says, okay, that's the problem with Neder. The Gemara says, Nedava Nami Damasli De Takala. Gemara says, all right, the same thing is true with Nedava. Meaning, in the world of carbon, for example, I declare this animal to be a carbon. Good. And I don't say Hare Alai, I say Hare Zu. One of the basic distinctions between Neder and Nedava. Right. By Neder, I make it upon me. By Nedava, I'm making the animals right in front of me. And I declare this animal to be a carbon. And I have no achres, and I have no personal liability if something happens to the animal. Gemara says, okay, that's all well and nice, but when all said and done, there's an animal in your house that's a carbon. And again, aren't we going to run into the same problems? I may use the animal for my own personal benefit. I may delay in bringing the animal. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, time and damar adam evi kivsa. So lazaro makdisha v'samechala v'shochta. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda is not worried about that problem. When a person brings a carbon as a nedava and as a neder, you know what he does? He doesn't mak. He's not makdish the animal. He brings the animal to the base of mikdash. The animal's still in a state of chulin. It is unconsecrated. And only once you get to the base of mikdash, you're literally at the doorstep of the base of mikdash, then you're makdish the animal, then you bring the animal in, then you bring it as a carbon. In other words, you negotiate so that there's simply no way that you'll be in violation of either me'ila or baal ta'akhir, and that's why by nedava there's none of these issues. So tenech nedava de carbon is nedava and nezir is ma'ikel ha'memar. Gemara says, wonderful. All this is a great discussion in the world of carbonos, like we just had, where by neder I'm making a personal obligation, I'm going to bring a carbon. And again, it'll lead to Me'ila, it'll lead to Baal Ta'akhir. And when it comes to Nedava, so the Gemara says, good. We can formulate in a way where there's no longer concern. I'll bring the animal to the base of Mikdash, unconsecrate it, and right before I do the Avoda and Eshecht it as a carbon, I consecrate it. Good. The Gemara says, but by Nazirus, like, what are you talking about? Meaning by Nazirus, there's going to be a distinction between Neder and Nedava. What kind of distinction is there? There's one way to become a Nazir, and that is by articulating, I'm going to become a Nazir. Then you wait whatever duration of time that it is, minimum Nazir is 30 days. After 30 days, you then bring a carbon. Like, what difference is there, neder unadava? How can you throw around such terminology by neder unadava? So Michael, Amemer of Yehudah Latam, at the time the Gemara says, no, even by Nazirus, we can make distinctions between neder unadava. How are we going to do that? The Gemara introduces us to a Braisa. It's a Tosefta. Rabbi Yehudah Omer Chassidim, Rabbi Shonim, Hayu Mit'avala, Havi Karban Chatas. The early Chassidim, so they wanted to bring a carbon chatas. Chassidim Rishonim is a terminology that you see time to time throughout the Gemara. Probably the most famous I can remember is in Brachos. Right? The Gemara in Brachos talks about Chassidim Rishonim, how they would daven. So they would spend an hour in Shmoneh Esrei. And then, right, you remember the Gemara? The Gemara says they spent an hour before Shmoneh Esrei. They're just getting themselves ready, concentrating. They spent an hour after Shmoneh Esrei. Right, kind of like
wind down, cool down.
So that was 3 hours. 3 hours, and that was just for Shacharis. And then another 3 hours for Mincha, another 3 hours for Maariv. That's 9 hours a day dedicated to davening. The Gemara and Brachos over there asked a question, which I'm sure everyone's wondering. So if 9 hours for davening, so when do they learn? And when, I mean, there's more time in the day, but in other words, when do they work? When do they learn? Like, Gemara over there gives an answer. But again, the question may itself not even begin. They're Chassidim Rishonim, meaning that's the whole point. They're very special people. So Chassidim Rishonim, Hayu Mitav Lahavi Karban Chatas. These Chassidim Rishonim also wanted to bring a Karban Chatas. And that's tricky, right? Correct. That's tricky. You're a chassid. Now, the only way you're a chassid, meaning in this context, is if you don't sin. And that's the whole definition of a chassid. Good. And if you're not sinning, so how are you bringing carbon chattas? Now, why do they want to bring a carbon chattas? So that's not really clear in the Gemara, why they want to bring it.
I mean,
oh, okay, good. So, right, so one possibility is, right, the Ron doesn't say this, but yes. One possibility is that, yeah, they, right, of course, intentionally they didn't do any Avera, but in other words, there is a, right, there's a remote possibility, but okay, that's one possibility. The Ron says, Ron doesn't say that clearly. I'm reading a little bit into the Ron, admittedly, but the Ron says, basically, you know what they want to do? They want to cover the gamut of Karbanos, meaning, right, every morning. Okay, admission over here, I don't do it every morning. But every morning during Karbanos, we read the fifth parak of Zvachim. And in the course of the fifth parak of Zvachim, so what do? So we go through the whole gamut of Karbanos. Right, here's the halacha, the basic halachas regarding an Ola. And here are the basic halachas regarding a Shlamin. And we basically cover the entire gamut of Karbanos. The Chassidim Rishonim, you know what they want to do? They want to bring it all. They want to bring Ola, Shlamin, all the subcategories of a Shlamim. And they want to bring Chatos. In other words, Chatos is just simply another category of Karbanos. And they want to bring that as well. Okay, that sounds like, if you read the Ran, that sounds like that's their motivation. Whatever their motivation is, how do you get there? How do you bring a Karban Chatos if you don't sin? That's a good question. Gemara answers. So Lefisha and Akash Baruch Mevi to Kala Yedehem how you owe them. So what would they do? Om Dinum is not Vin Nazir Samakom. So they become a Nazir. What a brilliant solution. So you become a Nazir. Now you're not doing anything wrong by becoming a Nazir, and yet you're going to bring a Karban Chatas at the end of your Nazirs, because at the end of everyone's Nazirs you bring a Karban Chatas. So it's just simply what you do. Another solution, by the way, is you have a baby, but that only works for the female population. It doesn't work for the male population. Okay, good. Good. Eddie, perfect issue being raised. Wait one second, because that's where we're going. So Miznada Nazir Samakum Kishis Khav Karmichata Samakum, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lon Nijuba Nazir, Ella Rosalavi, Ola Miznadev, Omevi, Shlamim Miznadev Omevi, Toda Arbamine Lachma Miznadev Omevi. So this is all the opinion of Rabbi Huda, but according to Rabbi Shimon, no. No, you don't volunteer to become a Nazir. If you want to bring an Ola, that's perfect. Just simply dedicate an Ola and bring it. If you want to bring a Shlamim once again, that's perfect. You want to bring a Karban Toda, you may do so as well. Ava Beneziros, lo hisnadvu kadesh lo yikru chotim. But according to Rabbi Shimon, one shouldn't just simply become a Nazir. Because if you become a Nazir, you're a chote, you're a sinner. Shenemar v'chiper alav me'asher chatal anefesh. The Torah in last week's Parsha says, well, not last week now, 2 weeks ago already. Okay? Time moves a little too quickly. So already 2 weeks ago, the Parsha says that that you're a chote, that you're a sinner. So according to Rabbi Shimon, this is not a good idea. You don't simply just become a Nazir, because by becoming a Nazir, you're becoming a chote. Now obviously, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that point. Rabbi Yehuda says that he's not a sinner. So why does he bring a carbon chatas at the end? For whatever reason. Gzeiros HaKosov. Okay, so, but again though, the whole point of the Gemara in bringing down this Braisa is to show us that according to Rav Yehuda, a person can in fact become a Nazir and a higher level of Nazir. Meaning not just reluctantly, begrudgingly, I'll become a Nazir, but I want to become a Nazir so that I can bring a Karban Chatas. Right, like these Chassidim Rishonim. So to the Gemara's question of, how can we make a distinction in the world of Naziris between a Neder and a Dava? What does that mean? A partial commitment, a full commitment? So the Gemara says, yeah, in this context I understand. You have these Chassidim Rishonim whose only motivation to become a Nazir so that they can bring a Karban Chatas, that will file that under the category of Nedava. Meaning that's a full commitment. They're really interested. As opposed to a person says reluctantly, begrudgingly, yeah, I'll become a Nazir, whatever. So that's more of like a neder, and that's no good. Okay. That is all the Gemara's response. A discussion, which is really a fundamental discussion, a basic discussion that results from this Braisa, is that how do we view the Nazir? Good guy or a chote? Okay, so so what comes out now, and I know this is a basic machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban, but really fundamentally, it's a machlokus tanayim. Meaning, how do we view the Nazir? Good or chote?
What's the meaning of Ramban
and Ramban? I'll go over the respective positions. So the in just a moment, but let's just first set ourselves up. In the Braisa, we first had the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. So, we first had the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, you're a good person. That's fine. And you want to become a Nazir and your motivation is good motivations, that's fine. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, don't do it. Don't become a Nazir, because when you become a Nazir, you are by definition being a chote. You are being a sinner. And so therefore, don't do it. So we have over here a basic machlokus. Now, or let's first cover the Gemara, and then I'll speak out the Rishonim. Amar Abaye. So on this issue now of whether becoming a Nazir is good or bad, so Abaye says Shimon Atzadik, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar Kafar. So I'm going to throw together three Tanayim. Abaye does this all the time throughout Shas, where basically he strings together Amarayim. I'm going to put together three Tanayim who are all in agreement. Kulan Shita Achasein. They all subscribe to the basic thought, which is the Nazir Chote Have, that a Nazir is considered a Chote. Nazir is a sinner. So Shimon HaTzadik Vi Rabbi Shimon HaDamar. So when it comes to Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon, mind you, by the way, Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon are two different people. That's clear. Just quickly to identify Shimon HaTzadik, that's early in Bayisheni, meaning he's Mishayari Knesset HaGedola. He was the last. One of the last of the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, which means that's in the beginning of the Bayisheni, beginning of the Second Temple. Rabbi Shimon,
end of,
huh?
End of Bayisheni.
Huh?
End of
no, I'm talking about Shimon HaTzadik. No, he was beginning. Remember, Anshe Knesset HaGedola was introducing the Second Temple.
Yes,
right, Ezra, Nehemiah, Anshe Knesset HaGedola. Right, and Rabbi Shimon, if not spelled out, is usually Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the end of Bayisheni. So just historically, there are really two different ends of the Bayisheni. But in this respect, they agree that a Nazir is a chote. And on top of that, Rabbi Lazar Kafar as well. Kulan Shita Achas in the Nazir Chote Avi. Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon HaDamar. So Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon, so that we've already gone over. Shimon HaTzadik was yesterday's daf. Remember the most one of the most famous stories about the Nazir in the south who looked at him. Well, he wasn't a Nazir yet. He looked in the mirror, he saw how good looking he was, he said this is no good, and so he becomes a Nazir. That was Shimon HaTzadik's from yesterday. And Rabbi Shimon, we just went over right now, and they both are of the opinion that becoming a Nazir is not a good thing. You're considered a chote. Now, as the Ran points out right here, and it's pretty clear also, you just go over the Gemaras, they're not in full agreement with one another. Meaning, this is a point of just degrees. They're not in full agreement with one another. According to Rabbi Shimon generally does not want a person to become a Nazir. That's no good. Shimon HaTzadik, no. In other words, you become a Nazir, That in of itself is fine. The problem is you become Tameh, and now you have to recount, and now at that point in time you're basically begrudging the whole remaining part of the process. I can't believe I gotta count again. This is ridiculous. Right? But Shimon HaTzadik fundamentally does not feel that becoming a Nazir in of itself is a bad thing. It's only when you become Tameh, now you get to the point where you gotta count again. Then at that point in time, the person really, his heart's not into it anymore. So they're not in total agreement with one another, but, and the Ron acknowledges this, but the basic, the common denominator is, it's not all good to become a Nazir. And then Rabbi Elazar Kafra, so we haven't seen him yet, so the Gemara introduces us. So Rabbi Elazar Kafra b'Rabbi Ditanya, Rabbi Elazar Kafra b'Rabbi Omer, v'chiper alav mi'asher chatal ha'nefesh. He quotes the pasuk, v'chiper ezo nefesh chatal. This person that becomes a Nazir, what sin are we talking about? So Elish Shetzir Atzmam Anayayin. You know what he did? Terrible. Abstention from wine. What a bad thing. That's a, right. Agreement, right? So it's a terrible thing. Now, if you live an ascetic life, but even just a limited ascetic life, where the only thing you don't do is you don't drink wine, and meanwhile, chote, you're considered a sinner. Now imagine if you go beyond that, meaning, I'm not only going to give up wine, but I'll give up this and that and this and that. Pleasures of the world, where it's within the parameters of the Torah, it's perfectly legitimate. And you just on your own decide, you know what, I'm going to live an ascetic life, that's bad. So, Mikan Kola Yoshe B'tanis Nikra Chote. You fast, and you enjoy fasting, and it's, you know, it's part of your religious motif, is that I'm going to fast. So, Nikra Chote, you're called a sinner. Okay, that is Rabbi Elazar Kafra. So Rabbi Elazar Kafra says, anytime you decide that you're going to live any form of ascetic life, so that's a bad thing. And a Nazir is a bad thing. And Rabbi Elazar Kafra says, and how do I know that? It's very simple. Because the Torah says that when you become a Nazir and you conclude your Nazir, what do you have to bring? You have to bring Karban Chatos. Oh, you're a sinner. And it's because of an ascetic lifetime. Now, ascetic lifestyle. Now, just one more line of the Gemara to finish off the Gemara portion of this discussion. Now the Gemara says, first of all, you know, we did just quote a pasuk. You quoted the pasuk out of context. Meaning that pasuk that we just quoted is describing the Nazir. But you know what kind of Nazir it's describing? The Nazir that became Tameh. The Nazir that became Tameh, the Torah says, the Torah admonishes him. He sinned. Okay. But that's not speaking to the general idea of Naziros. That's talking about the person who takes upon himself to become a Nazir, and he becomes Tameh, he's a sinner. But that's really a reflection of the totality of Naziros. So the Gemara says, yeah. Mishum Deshana Bechetu. Gemara says, yeah, because you know why? This is right. The Torah wouldn't call him a chote unless the whole process really started as a chet. Mm-hmm. Meaning becoming a Nazir to begin with is a chet. And then, now adding insult to injury, now he becomes Tameh. The Torah's like fed up. Like, oh, sinner? He's such a sinner. In other words, but it's only because the whole process was initiated in chet. That's why the Torah is comfortable referring to him as a chote. And they take a look at the Ran over here. The Ran says also it's based on extra drushes. Okay, so, good to become a Nazir, bad to become a Nazir. This is such a basic topic, a basic issue. And what do we know? What do we now know after having gone through the Gemara? It's Machlokas Tanayim. On one hand, you have Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's perfectly good. And you have three Tanayim. Rabbi Shimon, let me do it historically in the right order. Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Elazar Kafra who all say it's a chote, considered bad. And again, just to review, the Ran points out, Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon are not in perfect agreement with one another. But still, generally speaking, it's a bad thing. Okay, where do the Rishonim stand on this issue? So this is a basic machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. In other words, this machlokas, I guess, is made more famous by the Rishonim. The Rambam says being a Nazir is a bad thing. You're a chote. Meaning the Rambam takes a viewpoint of all these Tanaim that we just quoted. Why? So the Rambam says it's very simple. You know the Rambam, it's easy to arrive at this conclusion. Because the Rambam says you got to live a life of moderation. Right, you should never be on any extreme of anything. You have to live in the Shvil HaZahav, you have to live in the golden path, which is not extreme one way, not extreme another way, but you got to have everything in moderation. Wine is wonderful. Too much of it, of course, is terrible. None of it, of course, is also terrible. Meaning, don't live in any type of extreme. And that's exactly what the Torah is teaching us by Nazir. Nazir is the person who wants to live in extreme. No wine. Rambam says it's terrible. No, because once you're saying no wine, you're an extremist. Okay? And you know the world knows about extremists in one way, but you know extremists the other way as well. The Rambam says it's also no good. Right. So, right, the Rambam is going to have to deal with these. Right, they're categorically a different type of nazir. I'm not answering your question. I'm not providing a good explanation. But they're their own separate category. Okay. The Shimshon, right? Shimshon was a nazir for life. Shmuel was a nazir for life. Admittedly, that's so. I'm just giving you the basic. I'm giving you the basic synopsis of the Rambam's viewpoint. And the Rambam says, and you see that when a person wants to become a nazir, the Torah begrudgingly acknowledges, okay, it's fine, but it's not recommended. And you want to be a nazir, that's fine. But you enter nazir, so you know what you're going to bring. You're going to bring a carbon chatas. Do you know why? Because you didn't live a life of moderation, and that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants a life of moderation. As long as we brought up the Rambam and his Midos, just to point out, and we all know this already, I've gone over this a number of times, it's important. Rambam says there are two Midos in the Torah where you need to be an extreme. Okay, one is Gaiva, right? In other words, the arrogance. The Rambam says you have to be an extremist when it comes to arrogance, meaning... right, correct. Right, to be on the other end, to be on the other end of that spectrum, meaning have no gaiva whatsoever, no arrogance whatsoever. And the other one is kaas, comes to anger. The Rambam says you need to be an extremist when it comes to anger. There's no middle ground of anger. In other words, on anger you got to be all the way on the side of zero anger. Okay, that's the Rambam's two exceptions to the rule of the mida benis. But don't be too generous. Don't be too stingy. Right? Don't drink too much. Don't drink nothing. Right? Be somewhere in the middle. Good. That's the Rambam. The Ramban, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, right? Lived a little after the Rambam. Historically, I don't think they overlapped. Anyway, the Rambam died the Rambam died 1205. And was right. That's accurate. I think so. Okay, and the Ramban lived in the middle of the 13th century. Okay, so the Ramban says that no, he goes the other direction. He says that being a Nazir is a good thing, and you want to live an ascetic life, that's a good thing. And so the Ramban says, a beautiful parish, again, 2 weeks ago, he writes that on the Chumash. So he says, so why then does a Nazir bring a Karmel Chatzis at the end? So the Ramban says, do you know why he brings a Karmel Chatzis at the end? Because he had to give up his life of Nazirus. Meaning, once you start the path now of holiness, yeah, it's good. Once you start the path of holiness, now you're going to scale back from your life of holiness. That's no good. That's why he has to bring a carbon chatas at the end. That's Ramban and Chumash. This is the kind of thing where this is a philosophical issue. So the Ramban. So we know Rabbi Yehuda in today's daf. And okay, anyway, very very basic, very basic debate. Mishnah HaOmer.
Should be for everything, for all the mitzvot, meaning Pesach.
Yeah, you're correct. Right. It's just right. By Nazir, however, there's room for taking two viewpoints. Okay, let's go. We're on the Mishnah on Yud Amud Aleph. Let's begin. Mishnah starts off HaOmer. Now, this Mishnah is going to bring us now to the world of Kinuyim. Meaning, the beginning of the Masechta, we had a Mishnah as it relates to Yados. Again, I know the first Mishnah starts off with Kinuyim, but as we learned in the first daf and the second daf of the Masechta, Kinuyim is brought up first, but only addressed later. Meaning, structurally, the Mishnah is A, B, B, A. So, A is Kinuyim, B is Yados. Then we went on to explain Yados. That was yesterday's daf. And now the Mishnah today is going to now get into the topic of Kinuyim. Nicknames. HaOmer. So the Mishnah introduces us to what exactly are nicknames. So Koneim, Konach, Kones, Hare'el, Kinuyim, LeKarbon. So instead of using the word carbon, you use these other types of secondary languages. Okay. Cherek, Cheref. Sorry, let me pronounce it correctly. Cherek, Cherech, Cheref. Hare'elu, Kinuyim, LeKarbon. So these are all nicknames, so to say, of the word Cherem. Nazik, Naziach, Paziach, Hare Elu Kinuyim LeNazirus. These are all nicknames for Nazir. Shevusa, Shikuka, Noder B'mohi, Hare Elu Kinuyim LeShvua. And the nicknames of Shevusa, Shikuka, and Noder B'mohi, we're going to learn at the end of today's daf. Noder B'mohi. Mohi is the nickname of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if I use any of these types of languages, so these are Kinuyim, these are nicknames for Shavua. Okay, Itmar. Now, Nicknames. What is this all about? So we discussed this on day one of the Masechta, meaning you go back to Daf Beis and you replay Daf Beis again. So you're going to hear me. You heard me say this back then. This was the Ron gave us a whole introduction, but now the Gemara is going to spell it out. What is kinuyim? Meaning, kinuyim is a nickname. What is that? What is that? Rav Yochanan Amar Lashon Umah, saying to Rav Yochanan, says they're just other languages. Meaning the word konam, don't ask me what language, I don't know. But the word konam is just simply the word carbon in another language. That's all it is. And the same thing with koneach and kones. They're just different languages. And instead of you saying the word carbon, I say it in a different language. That's the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Rav Shimon Malakish Amar Loshon Shebadulam Chachamim, Lios Noder Bo. And Reish Lakish says, no, kinui, this isn't the word carbon in another language. These are manufactured terminologies constructed by the Chachamim to replace the word carbon. Meaning that when we speak, we don't say the word carbon. We use words which are not actually found in the dictionary, but they're manufactured by the Chachamim. Lashon Shebadlam Chachamim. V'chein Omer b'chodesh asher badam libo. And just to be familiar with the language of the word badu, we'll find it in Tanakh. And Malachim Aleph, the Navi, says, in the month of Shema Badami Libo, I'm going on memory. So please forgive me if I got the name of the Melech wrong. But Yeravam, who created a faction between the north and the south, so he created a whole northern kingdom, and he manufactured a Yantif. Right, in American society, we did that Mother's Day, Father's Day, right? A lot of right. we manufacture holidays. Okay, good. Right, the greeting cards company loved this. So Yeravam. So when he fragmented and he started the kingdom in the north, so he manufactured a Yantif. If I remember correctly, it was the 15th day of Cheshvan. Cheshvan is a very slow month anyway. There's not a whole lot going on. So he made up a yontif. So that's the Navi. Bechodesh Asher Badami Libo. Okay. So it just gives us the idea that the word Badu means to manufacture, to make up. V'tayim amay takin rabban kinuyim, dololeim akarban. And the Gemara says, after all said and done. Why? Meaning, what do we want? According to Rav Yochanan, it's just carbon in another language. According to Reish Lakish, these are manufactured terminology. Okay, but why? So Gemara explains, because we don't want to say the word carbon. V'lema carbon, the Gemara says, and what's the big deal? Say carbon. Dilma amar carbon la'ashem. So the Gemara says, because anyone who's well-versed in Chumash, so you say the word carbon, you're going to say carbon la'ashem. V'lema carbon la'ashem, the Gemara says, and again, so say that. What's the big deal? Dilma amar la'ashem v'lema carbon. V'kamafik shem shemayim levatala. Because all this brings us to a concern that instead of the person saying carbon Lashem, will just simply say the word Lashem without having said the word carbon. And all this is a problem because if you say the word Lashem, mostly Shem Shemayim Levatala. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, we're in the very top of Yudam and Beis. Minay Shalom Yomar Adam Lashem Ola Lashem Mincha Lashem Toda Lashem Shlomim. So a person shouldn't say Lashem Ola, meaning putting the word Hashem before the carbon, and Shem Hashem before Mincha and Toda and Shlamim. Tamalama carbon Lashem. So the Torah is very clear. The Torah says that even when I designate a carbon, I have to take the word carbon and place it before the word Lashem. The Kavachomer Umaz Vishlan Skavin Alaskar Shem Shemayim Allah carbon Amar Torah carbon Lashem. So look, we can walk away with a very simple lesson over here. An easy Kavachomer. I'm trying to make a carbon. I'm not doing a bad thing. And the Torah is very instructive, and the Torah is very clear. Make sure that when you designate a carbon, say the word carbon first, and then put the word Hashem afterwards. Carbon Lashem. So that I don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain. And here, I'm doing so in the context of, I'm just trying to bring a carbon. So, Levatala al achas kama v'chama. Imagine now if I say Shem Hashem Levatala. So that for sure is terrible. So that is why it is that the Chachamim gave us this manufactured language, or language based on another, words that are based on another language, so that we don't say the word carbon Lashem. And the problem with saying carbon Lashem is I may end up saying the word Hashem by itself without modifying it without first introducing with the word carbon. Okay? All because of the prohibition of being Moshe Shem Shemayim Levatala. Okay. Gemara now suggests that this machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether all these words that were introduced to us in the Mishnah are either other languages or the manufactured languages of the Chachamim. So the Gemara is suggesting now this is a machlokes tanaim. Lema ketanai beishamai omrim. Kinui kinuyim asura. Beishamai says, what if I use not the derivative language that's introduced to us in the Mishnah, but a secondary derivative language? Examples we'll see in just a moment. Ubeisila omrim kinuyi kinuyim mutarim. And Beisil says, no. The kinuyim of our Mishnah, those words are actually going to create a neder. But if I use secondary derivative language, that doesn't mean anything, right? It's not going to take any effect whatsoever. So my love, mandar kinui kinui masurim, kasavar kinui lashon hamasein. So if you are, the Gemara is now trying to line it up. So if you hold that these are just simply other languages, so then other languages, so not only if I use these words expressed in the Mishnah, but even if I use other words, as long as it's some culture, some nationality uses these words to describe a carbon, as long as I'm using that word, so then it should take hold. So meaning that Beit Shammai would be subscribing to Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. However, if these words are manufactured words made up by the Chachamim, so the Chachamim made up a string of words, but that's it. There aren't any other words, meaning for the word, instead of the word carbon, the Chachamim manufactured koneim, Koneis, Koneach. But that's it. No, there's no other words. And so that means that Basil would be holding like Reish Lakish, or to say it better, historically better, Reish Lakish would be holding like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, "Lo, dekulei amik kinuyim lashon hamasein." The Gemara says, "No. Really, the truth of the matter is, everyone could be holding like Rav Yochanan, or Beit Shammai Savrei, Bahani Nami Mishtai Umas, or Beis Hillel Savrei, Bahani Lo Mishtai Umas." And then it comes out to a what seemingly would be an unexciting way to explain the Machlokas, where according to Beit Shammai, other languages, so these other words are used by other nationalities, and Beis Hillel says, "No, it's not." Kind of hard to understand. Or the Gemara says whether or not it's a gzera or it's not a gzera. But in other words, everyone subscribes to the basic viewpoint of Rav Yochanan. Okay, and on this issue, the Ran says, I know it's a funny place to state the halacha, but the Ran says, we hold like Rav Yochanan. Meaning, the Ran says that when it comes to the how come these other languages work, so the Ran says we go like Rav Yochanan, which means that they are just simply other languages reflecting the word carbon. It's not, this is not manufactured language. And of course the Ran says we also go like Beis Hillel, which means that if I use any other word other than the ones described in our Mishnah, that's going to be that's not going to be good. It's not going to be accepted. Yeah.
Can we not learn out kinuyim from Yod? Yad is just something that doesn't sound like anything. If that works, then
right, but Yados, you're using terminology that's understood. By kinuim, you're using other words. Meaning, you're not saying the word carbon. You're using a word that's not carbon. So that's the kinuim is a different breed.
You make up your own.
Yeah, they're right. That's right. Correct. So the. If it's a manufactured language, the answer would be no. In other words, the Chachamim manufactured, and that's it. If it's just simply other languages, so as long as it's an accepted way of means of communication, right? The Ran said this on day one of our Masechta. Meaning, what's Rav Yochanan essentially saying? As long as a group of people agree that this word is a word to use carbon, so that's it. Rav Yochanan would be fine with that. Heichidami kinui kinuyim dinadarim. So Tini Rav Yosef. Okay, I'm going to go through this quickly, even though there's really not a daf left in today's daf. But we're just going to now give examples of the secondary derivative kinui kinuyim, right? Other words. So this is now going to be substitutions for carbon, but not even substitutions for carbon. Substitutions of the substitutions for carbon. So mikan mana, mikan chana, mikan sana, hechidami kinui kinui de cherem. Again, we're now up to the second substitution for the word cherem. Tani mafsha'a. The name of the Talmud Chacham is mafsha'a. That's his name. Charakim, charakim, charafim, and then kinu, kinu, and nazir. So the secondary words to describe a nazir, tini Rav Yosef, mechazkana, minazchana, mapichana, ibailahu. The Gemara now, the Gemara is really detailed. The Gemara now is going to enter into minutia of what about Mif chazanamai, mit azanamai. What about these words? Shamalei Ravin, le Ravashi, kinamamai. Gemara doesn't even answer. Gemara just moves on. What about the word kinama? Right, as a, again, kinama is very similar to konim, and konim we know is a kinui for carbon. So konim kamar, is he trying to say the word konim? Odilma, kinamom bosim. Or maybe he's talking about cinnamon. Kamar. Amalei Ravacha, b'de Ravchila, Ravashi, kinamai. What if he says the word kina? Again, kone, carbon is the word. Konim is a kinui. And now kina. Kina shatana golem kamar, is he talking about a chicken coop? Odilma lashon de konim. So, tibai'i, the Gemara basically says teku. Right, we're learning in Dharam right now. The language of the Masechta is a little bit unusual. Okay, tibai, the Gemara says, I don't know. Kinui kinuim deshvua echidami. What are secondary words for shvua? Shivu el, shivusi el, shikuka el. Okay, so the Gemara gives three examples. The first example is shivu el. The Gemara says, shivu el, what are you talking about? Shvu ben Gershom Hashma, that's somebody's name. Now, if you know Divrei HaYamim really well, okay, I exclude myself from that discussion. So so you'll know that Shvuel was right. You've mentioned in Divrei HaYamim, he was one of the administrators of David HaMelech. Anyway, so Ella Shivuvel, Shivusiel Shikukel. So Gemara makes a correction. Shivuvel is the first example of the secondary kinui of Shvuel. So the word Mahu. Right, the Bach takes it out. Amar Shmuel, Amar Ashivata lo Amar Klum. If you say the word Ashivata as an attempt to say the word Shvua, so that's nothing. Ashkika lo Amar Klum. Ashkika also is nothing. And Karinasa lo Amar Klum. Okay, all these words are not substitutions for Shvua. Nender b'moy arei l'kinuyim. One more point for today's daf. Tanya. The Gemara says, we learned in the Braisa. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Ha Omer b'moi lo amar klum. If you just simply say b'moi. Moi, again, is a nickname for Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's nothing. B'mumasa de amar moi. However, if you say the pledge that Moshe made. When did Moshe make a pledge? So that's in the beginning of Parsha Shmos. Sefer Shmos, Parsha Shmos. All right, v'yoel Moshe. Huh? No, he had to run away. So, right, Vayal Moshe Lashavas Asish Vitin Sipor Bitola Moshe. Right, he had to run away from Mitzrayim. He goes to Midian, and he, Vayal Moshe, he made a pledge that he's going to stay with him. And he does stay with his father in law for some time, right, 40 years, I think is the accepted Midrashim. And, okay. So, if you say b'mo'i, hara elukinu l'shvuya, that's acceptable. But just to say the word mo'i by itself, that's unacceptable, right? See the Ron gives a two explanations, but basically, the first explanation is the way I just described it. Okay, so that's again a secondary language that describes a shvuya. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the Mishnah. Again today, we went on record with. How can we make a distinction between neder and nedava when it comes to nazir? The Gemara says we could do that. Basic machlokas that we saw today regarding the acceptability of becoming a nazir altogether. Machlokas Tanayim, made popular by the machlokas Rambam and Ramban. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the last thing we covered today are kinuim. What exactly are derivative languages that are replacements for carbon? For Cherem and for Shvua. So the Mishnah gave examples. How come the secondary languages work? Machlok is Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish. Iran says we go like Rav Yochanan. They're just simply the word carbon in other languages. And finally, what about the double derivatives? So Machlok is between Beishamai and Beisilel. Beisilel says double derivatives don't work. And the Gemara went through a host of examples of what exactly are double derivatives.